warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in Your Life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We know about the history of unethical medical research. Scientists actually had conducted, at one point, a 40-year study on African-American men refusing to give them penicillin to treat their syphilis, which, of course, led to early death, infection of some of their wives and children. There was a horrific case of a dermatologist who experimented on prisoners by infecting them with ringworms. And today, this very day, in fact, to get the story regarding the University of Washington, let's go to a Canadian author, very well-known author, researcher, Pamela McCall. Pamela, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, good morning. Nice to be on your show.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, Pamela, the author of the classic "Twas the Night Before Christmas," but the smoke-free version of that story.
That's right.
So it's great to have you on the show. Pamela, could you tell us about what is happening at the University of Washington?
Certainly. The University of Washington has been recruiting women who are hopefully less than 13 weeks gestation, so very early in pregnancy, who are also frequent marijuana users, and in their own language, use lots of marijuana, so that they can study the impact of the marijuana use on these women's babies' brains. And I mean, when I saw this 3 weeks ago, I cleared my desk and I went, okay,
yeah,
now we have to get to work and stop this study. This is being funded by NIDA, the federal government, so all the American taxpayers are paying for this, and I think that they deserve to be told what's going on.
Well, The obvious danger, I mean, this seems to be a medical research project that is unethical by definition of the project. They are studying brain development in infants with prenatal marijuana exposure, but they're going out and asking pregnant moms, hey, if you smoke a lot of pot, come on in, we want to study this.
And they're paying them $300. So that's a huge problem. But they also are saying in their own, you know, releases and statements on their study that they're saying women who are using for morning sickness, well, women are using for other reasons than morning sickness, and there a lot of these women will be addicted because, as we know, frequent users of marijuana, 1 in 2, will have substance use disorder. So they're recruiting addicted people. It's just beyond the pale.
And the researchers acknowledge that there is this risk to preborn babies that decades ago was underestimated because pot was so much weaker back then. They acknowledge that today, the marijuana you buy today is 3 times more potent than it was 30 years ago. We've been warning about this, Pamela, on our program for many years, especially since Colorado tragically took the lead on decriminalizing marijuana for recreational use. The whole medical marijuana movement was a scam. It was only a stepping stone toward complete decriminalization, and we're suffering the effects of that here in Colorado, including with significant admissions to our children's hospital in Denver that are up nearly like 700 visits a year up from 10 years ago, and many of these are with serious health problems from marijuana among use by children.
Right. Well, I mean, the Surgeon General, I was listening to him this morning, and, you know, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. He corrected the journalist on that because it's marijuana for medical purposes. Yes, there are medicinal, you know, properties of the marijuana plant, just like there are the poppy plant.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that poppy is a medicine, nor is marijuana medicine. It's as Michael Bloomberg said, it's the hoax of the 21st century. I mean, this is the greatest hoax that people have. And you know what's really sad is that these ballot initiatives and the way that the pot lobby and interest, the industry, went about this was they played on people's compassion. They played on people's compassion who
sure,
said, hey,
right.
You know, if there is a medicinal benefit to helping some kid with Dravet's, like very serious epileptic disorders and things, then, you know, but they played on it. They played us. They played on our good side. And I think that's really villainous.
Yeah. Just a few months ago, the journal Lancet published a study, a large study, with marijuana, and I know our purpose now isn't just to make the case against marijuana, but this is so recent. A large study finding that smoking marijuana is strongly linked to developing schizophrenia and paranoia. In fact, 20% of new psychosis cases are associated with daily marijuana use, and that percentage skyrockets in cities like London and Amsterdam, where they have even higher average THC content in marijuana, and it skyrockets to up to 50% of these are patients coming in to have their mental illness treated, and up to half of them are using marijuana daily.
Well, sure. And I mean, look at CBD. I just testified at the FDA in Washington, D.C. on May 31st, and I was one of 45 people chosen, or 65 people, to do a two-minute argument, which I did. And, you know, CBD being reclassified, I mean, one just has to look at the side effect profile for Epidiolex, the synthetic derivative of the marijuana plant for CBD, which was, you know, authorized by the FDA. Suicide ideation linked with CBD, glaucoma, increased eye pressure leading to blindness, and they're selling CBD at Walgreens? Like, seriously?
Yeah,
People need to know what's going on here, and the problem is that, as you've mentioned, like, marijuana, a plant, is completely different than what we're talking about. We're talking about GMO altered. They're taking the CBD out. They're taking the THC out. You know, so you've got these terrible side effects when you start playing around with a plant like this.
So many of the claimed benefits to marijuana, actually, we find out that marijuana exacerbates the problem, like nausea, for example. There's cyclic vomiting syndrome that's being reported from marijuana users, and it's so bizarre that people are taking marijuana because they're nauseous, and that's actually a highly correlated symptom to smoking marijuana is cyclic vomiting syndrome.
And these women are using it for morning sickness.
No
scientific basis for that. And you're right, this is exactly what's happening. So you've got these frequent users, these pregnant women, the study's enrolling them, instead of giving them counseling and doing everything they can to get those women to stop and educating them on the risks. Those women are going to have this cyclical vomiting, cannabis hypernemesis syndrome, and they're going to end up. What happens if the mother is getting these effects? And you said, like, psychotic and all these side effects. What about the baby? I mean, it crosses the placenta. What's happening to that poor little baby?
Right, exactly.
I mean, not just
of
birth
course.
Defects and coming out with low birth weight or having a miscarriage, there's an increased risk of preterm birth, right? You know, they're having stillbirths. I mean, twofold increased risk of stillbirth.
Yeah.
And they're giving these women, you know, $300 and saying, hey, we're going to study you. And you know, the really fascinating thing is that the study even says, they say on their website that women read, we don't expect to find anything. So can somebody explain to me, what's this all about? And you and I mean, I know a lot about MRIs now. I've been reading about it. But if you don't sedate a baby during an MRI,
you're not going to get a good MRI. And
guess
thank
what they're
you.
Doing? They're not sedating them, apparently. But I've, under the Freedom of Information, have asked for the consent forms because I want to see what they say about MRIs.
Pamela McCall. We're speaking with Pamela McCall, MCCOLL. Pamela, you educated me in preparation for this show. I didn't realize that because we have interviewed on a couple of occasions the inventor of the MRI, Raymond Damadian. What an amazing scientist, engineer. And there's actually a dispute about who actually invented the MRI.
Okay.
But he's the guy with patent number one for MRI, and he's the guy who collected a check for $120 million from General Electric for violating his MRI patent, and checks from many other manufacturers. So we vote for him being the inventor of the MRI. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't aware that an MRI on a pregnant woman could cause the amniotic fluid to increase in temperature. And that's a concern, and there are other concerns.
Yes. And I mean, there's two pediatricians in Seattle who have taken upon themselves to file a complaint with the Office of Human Rights over this study. Hmm. I have filed a complaint with Human Research, and I've also done a complaint at the university level. They started an investigation, thanks to me, and they have now changed some of the things they're telling these women. But the new information sheet that they've said that the women will get does not mention preterm birth, which means miscarriages.
It's insufficient. I have it right here. Marijuana's impact on pregnant women and their children. And on page 3, this is so innocuous. It makes it sound like, look, don't worry about anything. There's no problem here. There's nothing to see. I'd like to share with you, Pamela, two things. An anecdotal case of an acquaintance of mine, and then a study I'm sure you know about from 2016 on blood flow in the brains of those who use marijuana regularly. But I know a woman in the Denver area who was pregnant and had severe morning sickness. You know, she said she had, I think it's called something like hyperemesis gravidarum.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and so she was self-medicating, selecting her own dosage with marijuana, and she was blogging about it, and she called it the heavenly cure, THC, the heavenly cure. Mm-hmm. And she was violently nauseous throughout her entire pregnancy.
Oh, dear.
And she's using tinctures and edibles and smoking pot for 9 months. And just at the superficial level, if it's the heavenly cure, then you shouldn't be suffering from it. And she suffered from it.
What's so sad is that what she's done is she's denied herself adequate medical treatment. She should have seen a physician about this, because
and she may have.
Emily Bronte died from this. Like, it's a serious disorder.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You shouldn't be messing around with this and experimenting.
Yeah.
If you really have that, you should be getting you should be getting some medical help.
And I'm not saying she wasn't, but her blogging was her constant self-administering her drug of choice, which was THC.
Well, when I went on social media and I tried to tweet out some science to the women who might be following this study, because the study has a Twitter account, they blocked me. They also blocked Dr. Ken Finn out of Colorado, who's a lead expert on this. They blocked us both. They wouldn't allow us. And on their Facebook page, the researchers have an article that says, "How Marijuana Saved My Pregnancy." Like, we have to look at this research.
Yeah.
This is what these people are doing. This is about greed. This is the problem, right? Mm. It's the $200,000 they got to study these 35 women who are on marijuana and the 35 who aren't. It's greed. It's all about money.
There's also, Pamela, there's a related study right here at the University of Denver that also we need to look into regarding marijuana and pregnant women. But real quick, this study from 2016. Now, they want a study. I mean, the title of their study at the University of Washington includes brain development in infants with prenatal cannabis exposure. So this study was of 1,000 U.S. pot smokers. It was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, and they were looking at low blood flow throughout the brain, because there is an awareness that if you have lower than normal blood flow in parts of your brain, you're going to have some significant problems. Well, tragically, their result, when they studied these 1,000 U.S. pot smokers, they found that virtually 100% of them had restricted blood flow in the brain's memory and dementia region. Virtually all of them. And so here they're having moms, they're encouraging moms, keep smoking pot, keep using marijuana, and we want to see what this does to your baby's brain. That's unethical on its face, and it's cruel.
I agree with you. Now, the University of Washington also just did another study, a huge longitudinal study, and they found that women who get infections during pregnancy and are hospitalized, their babies have a higher incidence of autism. And this is a fascinating study. And so what we're saying is that marijuana is known for its molds and fungi and aspergillus. And so a lot of these women who are, and guess a load of this, this study doesn't even make them buy from the federally sourced marijuana. They're allowed to just go buy their pot wherever they want to buy it.
Sure, right.
So they're buying, you know, contaminated crap. Who knows what they're buying? And so if they do get infections, right, what are these little babies have a higher incidence of autism, like, and depression. You know, it's just, it's, you know, what's really wrong, in my opinion, really, I mean, I'm not a pediatrician. The pediatricians can fight over the MRI risks and all these things, but my big issue is the Child Protective Services, because I went to the Department of Child Services for the state of Washington, and I said, these women are being set up, because if they are found, if these babies are found to have damage, which is what this science is, this research is looking for, is damage, right? If these babies are damaged because the mother used marijuana, any health professional associated with this has a duty of care under state law to report that mother to Child Services. So these women are, I mean, what jeopardy they're in. They could lose their kids. Look at, and where are the fathers in all of this? Where are the dads?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in child custody cases and everything else. Like,
yeah.
So I talked to the Department of Child Services. I talked to the director's office, and they haven't got back to me yet, but I expect they will. Because I said, you've got 35 cases coming down your pipe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have found that Child Protective Services, if nothing else, is intensely politically correct. And so thank you for reaching out to them, and hopefully they will intervene. We'll find out. Pamela, you may have heard of a TV show, a cable show on Vice or Viceland, and it's called Weedekit. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I have.
Yeah, it's the host, he goes by the name Krishna, and they called me, their producers. They were looking to do, out of, you know, three seasons of the show, where they're bragging in every conceivable way about how wonderful marijuana is. They were looking to do one show where somebody argued against marijuana. They should have called you. They called me. And so they flew me out to Manhattan, and we spent an afternoon recording in a really gorgeous 150-year-old church. Of course, they put us in a church, right, to imply that it's just religious fanatics. It's not scientifically informed objectors. And, you know, sometimes I've been doing this for almost 30 years on the air, been politically incorrect with Bill Maher half a dozen times, hundreds of interviews. Sometimes you do well. Sometimes you sort of do lousy, you know. Well, I was firing on all cylinders. It's one of the best days I ever had in my life. And it's now been 2 full years that episode has not aired. They have not aired that episode, and I want to know why.
I think you should.
Because really, when a pot advocate talks to someone who's actually educated, their arguments do nothing but explode in their faces, because their arguments are bizarre and false.
Well, when I opened up my discussion with the FDA and testified last month, that's exactly what I started with, was that the public is, at, you know, The advocates are at war with science. I mean, this is the whole problem. They've been attacking us and science and scientists. I mean, I've had death threats. I mean, you know, it's all about money. It's all about greed. It really is. It's just some people see, you know, and then of course there's the true believers. So there really are in the whole placebo effect. So you're going to have about 13% of people who use marijuana for a purpose, and they're going to believe in it so much because power of belief,
of course,
that is more powerful than knowledge.
Of course.
Right? If you believe
right.
this thing,
yeah.
sure, some people are going to have some good effect.
Even if it makes you worse, you're going to be convinced it cured you.
or have terrible side effects, like make you go blind, like with CBD, right? You know, it's you know, maybe it did something for you, but it has enormous side effects.
And so,
but you know, these poor little babies, like this story. I mean, it's such an expansive story, because what happens when these women take these babies home? Now we've got breastfeeding issues with moms who are on marijuana, right? Because it's a fat-soluble drug, and it accumulates in the body. So it accumulates in breast milk and transfers to the baby, where it accumulates and wrecks their neuroendocrine system, so their bones don't develop properly. Like, where does this stop, you know?
Yeah.
We also have links between marijuana use in the home and violence. You know, look at the Texas data with child fatalities. You know, the most prevalent drug was marijuana in these cases. So it's just a very big story, and it needs to stop.
Oh,
and when a woman says, I'm pregnant, I'm using marijuana, they need to have major counseling to help them quit.
Well, Pamela, so much of our national suffering may have been averted if a handful of potheads never got addicted in the first place. I mean, our Aurora Theater murder right down the street here in the Denver suburbs, James Holmes was a pothead. The Freddie Gray case, Trayvon Martin, the Ferguson suicide by cop, Michael Brown. So many of our most horrific crimes were committed by potheads. In fact, there
Amanda
was just...
Knox.
What's that?
Amanda Knox.
Amanda Knox. Wow, what a great example. Jodi Arias. And really, the list is unbelievable. The Tucson Massacre mass murderer, James Loeffner. Just yesterday, the news about the shooting at the federal courthouse in Dallas. A lengthy article. So I think, well, why do I need to read this whole article? I just did Control F, you know, find in page. And I typed in M-A-R-I. And it went right down to the neighbor who said this guy's apartment smelled like pot, like marijuana, for the last 2 years. And so it's almost predictable. You got a 22-year-old who's erratic. In fact, Pamela, I think you recognize the name Robert Corey.
Yes.
The attorney from Colorado who led the fight to legalize, decriminalize marijuana.
Yes, and all over Twitter.
Yeah, I had the honor, I don't know if you call it that, of debating marijuana with him on the Huffington Post 7 years ago. And of course, part of what I warned him about was the psychosis, the mental illness that comes along with long-term marijuana use. And he was in the headlines this weekend for an incident at our Denver International Airport where he was charged with kidnapping, vehicular theft. He said that the Arabs were chasing him in a helicopter.
Yeah, I read that. Oh, gee.
This is pretty tragic, but it's so predictable.
Right. Well, you know, one of the big narratives right now, the marijuana lobby, are incredibly well-funded, and they have very, very intelligent people sitting in rooms trying to figure this whole thing out. They have since 1972 when they invented Reefer Madness. But there are 30,123 published studies on marijuana on PubMed right now, 2,000 on marijuana and pregnancy.
Wow.
So how can these people be railing about that there's no science? We have a mountain of science, and that's on low potency, and we have an enormous amount coming online in biomedical literature on high potency. That is even more, you know, more problematic for these people. So anybody who waves their arms in the air and goes, oh, we need to reclassifying, we need money for research, they are not telling the truth. If you go on PubMed, anybody can do it. Type in anything you want to know about marijuana, and it's all there, from psychosis to suicide to violence to pregnancy to all of this, right? So that's their new strategy.
Anecdotal case I shared with you, this pregnant gal who self-medicated with marijuana for her entire pregnancy, a mutual friend, someone else who I really respect, a real neat gal, real sharp too. She's trying to defend her friend for smoking pot while she's pregnant. And she said, Bob, I went online, I researched, there's not a single indication that marijuana is harmful to a fetus or during pregnancy. And I thought, well, did you try Googling marijuana in pregnancy? Did you start there? Because what she did, like so many, she's not a pothead, but potheads share their favorite websites. She went on to the recommended websites where they guaranteed everyone it's as safe as could be.
Well, you know, what I don't understand is 70% of the dispensaries in Denver, Colorado are selling marijuana to pregnant women. Where are the lawyers? Where are the lawyers? I mean, really?
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And where are the lawyers for the men? The Canadian government says that no men should use marijuana if they want to have children. The reason they say that is because of the risk of testicular cancer, which is very aggressive and strikes the young, usually mid-20s, and sterility issues, fertility issues, DNA damage issues. So I don't know where the lawyers are, but I don't get it, because I think there's a case, lots of cases sitting here, and I think any woman who has not been told by one of those dispensaries of the risks to her baby or herself, because there are risks to the mother as well in pregnancy because of anemia and different issues, should run to a lawyer. I don't know why they haven't already done it. To me, it's an absolute.
That's like a self-actuating question. I like that question. Where are the lawyers to sue the dispensaries?
On behalf of these women.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some in our audience right now, and perhaps a light bulb will go on for one or more of them, that this is a great idea, not only for the health and well-being of individuals, but to educate the public. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Lawyer, you might make a lot of money while you're at it.
Well, we think that this is, I have an attorney, a former attorney general, I won't mention from what state, but he's on our campaign now for the study. So I phoned him up the other day. He's retired, and I said, I told him all about this. And he said, I'm in. Yeah. I'll help you. I won't charge you. I'll help you.
So
we may have legal recourse against the university. We're pursuing it.
That's
fabulous. Certainly, if these babies are damaged, we will absolutely find a way
wow.
to take this on legally.
Wow.
But I think, you know, the issue you brought up at the very beginning about my 'twas the night before Christmas without the smoking.
Yeah.
Like, I started from a position of taking on big tobacco, and what I find absolutely fascinating about what we've been discussing about marijuana is that the most successful campaigns against tobacco were called the truth campaigns, and they were denormalization. We denormalized the industry. We stigmatized the industry. We made everybody dislike big tobacco.
Yeah.
And in turn, people stigmatize the smoker, which is sad because people who are addicted need help. But look how many people stopped because we did that. When you come to marijuana, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, we're starting at first base, and
they don't believe in they believe in destigmatizing use. They don't believe in denormalization. They don't apply You know,
and they're ignoring the science. And we point out for years, Pamela, on this show, that study after study that comes out and warns about the harmful effects of marijuana, for the most part, these studies are contrary to interest because they're done at universities where there is nothing but a pro-pop mentality. And if you're a professor and you are warning people against smoking marijuana, you don't become the favorite guy on campus. You become the enemy. So these studies are coming out against incredible bias for marijuana.
I'm totally with you. And a lot of the industry has been sprinkling millions around at research, and you know, and then they get these people to testify in their favor because they know they're going to get a nice little, you know, $1 million research grant. But in this case, with this study, it's NIDA. It's the federal government. And so when I went to them, I said, what are you doing, right? But we do suspect this study. We've got a team of pediatricians, neurologists, lawyers, everybody else.
How could people
Once we
help?
Get the protocols, we're going to rip it apart. We're going to rip it apart.
We're out of time. How could people help if they want to be part of this campaign to shut down this study?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to either contact your show, which you may not want, or you can write to the university's ethics division, which I can get you that link to.
Yeah, well, how about that? We'll put it on our website.
Or NIDA. Go right to the source. Go right to NIDA. Go to Nora Volkoff, the head of NIDA.
Well, that sounds awesome. And let me ask you this. We're speaking with Pamela McCall, author of On Marijuana and The Pied Pipers of Pot. Last question, Pamela. How did you find our show?
Well, I work on an international team of advocates, so all over the world. And so somebody sent me your a page, and then they sent me your, and I found your YouTube from seeing your page
yes.
on marijuana.
Yeah.
And then I shared it around the world yesterday. This went to London, Australia.
Wow.
It went to all over the United States, all over Canada. We're a huge group of people. We report to the UNODC, the United Nations, and we go there and we share information with people like us all over the world.
Well, that's very encouraging. So we are going to list your two books, and we'll include the contact information that you mentioned on our website for today's show. And in the future, if anybody wants to find this show, it's at kgov.com, kgov.com/McCall, McColl. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.